Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Big shout out to Steve Weiss. If you missed that interview, go rewind on the Odyssey app and you can hear it. Also, an amazing interview with Sam Mitchell talking about the NBA playoffs. And a story he told about Kevin Garnett talking about the great players and how they practice. It's all there at Odyssey.com. Guys, we got bad news before we get to our man Joe Patrick. And not only did the Braves lose the day doubleheader, it's a day-night split doubleheader, but they also lose A.J. Smith-Shawver. He left this game early, and then afterwards, Snit said Shawver told him that he felt a pop. Snicker didn't know at first, if that meant calf, Achilles, he's not sure. Either way, they've sent A.J. Smith-Shawver back to Atlanta and placed him on the 15-day IL, and they have recalled right-handed pitcher Michael Peterson.
He got hit with a comebacker as he was finishing his follow-through. His left calf, his right calf was in the air. That's what got hit. But when he says what popped, a lot of people are reading lips, Carl. He's making the arm motion, which has people believing, uh-oh, please arm. Tell me that's not his arm. Stay tuned. We'll talk with the Grant coming up later.
Not good. Braves fall today 5-4 to the Phillies. Had bases loaded with the chance to win at the end. Mr. White did not come up with the hit. As a matter of fact, Mike said it got struck out looking. All right, let's talk to our man because it's been an interesting week from a Falcons standpoint with OTAs going on. And Joe Patrick covers the Falcons for us. Joe, it's good to have you back on. A lot of conversation. I know Michael Penix spoke this week, and everybody was talking about Penix. What did you get from the comments about his leadership, his growth, and look, what they think of him? And I'm talking about his teammates right now as to where Michael Penix is in this process.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that that's kind of the big theme going, like, with him going into this offseason and going through training camp is becoming that leader, which he automatically is de facto because he's the team's starting quarterback. But it's about what do you do when you're thrust into that leadership position? How do you actually go about your business and to get to just foster the best out of everybody? And he's talked about, you know, kind of getting out of his comfort zone a little bit to have some shared experiences with guys on the team and just, you know, do some things they like to do. It sounds like he's a pretty big golfer nowadays, which the Falcons have a pretty big golfing group. Here's a little inside info, guys. By the way, they have, like, I guess what I hear is they've got a text chain of like 25 guys or however many. There's a good amount of them, though, it sounds like. And, you know, they'll like put out the bat signal for like whoever needs a foursome, and they'll just get some guys together and, you know, and they'll meet up and play. And so I think that that's kind of great for team bonding, and that's the kind of thing that he's starting to do with these guys. Just, you know, it's nothing really football related necessarily. It's just about spending time with people and starting to understand them so that when you do have the challenges, when you do have to work out solutions, you know, to problems during the season, those things can kind of come about a little bit more smoothly. And when I talk to the coaches and even other players, you get the sense, and they say it, that there's just like a natural attraction that people have to Michael Penix because they understand the talent that he has. And he's a humble guy. He does not he's not out and about. He talks about how he's, he just likes to kind of basically chill at home and just do his own thing. He's kind of an introvert in that respect. And so I think it's a little uncomfortable for him to be doing this kind of stuff. But I think that at the same time, everybody on this team is really kind of falling under his wing and putting a lot of confidence in him.
Hey, man, the decision to put our new first-round draft pick, our first guy, Jalen Walker, is like number one as far as his linebacker position. I mean, you got to earn it in the NFL, but it's a testament to his leadership. And I guess Raheem talked about him wanting to have more reps and basically be in that position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this time of year, you know, I'll tweet out, you know, who's on the field when I'm out there because, you know, that's what fans want. I think that it is instructive of some things, but I think all fans need to understand that, you know, the rookies are going to have to earn their stripes. And right now they are basically all to themselves. It's the reserves and the rookies basically practicing together. And then there's, you know, the first teamers, the first and second stringers. And yeah, I mean, it's a testament to him that he actually was getting some reps with the first team. He was the only one of the rookies who was getting in because they were rotating basically four guys, those two edge spots for the most part of what I saw when they were doing some of their team stuff. So yeah, he got in there, and I think that, you know, he's going to be obviously a very important player. James Pierce Jr. should be noted. You know, you wonder about him. He's also a first round pick. He was held out of team stuff completely. It looked like he was on a little bit of a different program. So you never know. You know, a lot of guys have little dings and are nicked up, and they just want to be very careful with some of these players. And so that's where James Pierce was. But yeah, I mean, these guys will all earn their stripes. They will continue this way through training camp. And then once you get into that second half of training camp is when you really start to kind of see more of what the depth chart is going to be looking like.
Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell coming up. We'll talk with Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Braves lose 5-4 in the first game today. The second game will be this evening. Joe, I want to ask you about Leonard Floyd and his effect on those guys you just mentioned. And they're going to look to him for leadership. He is a guy that's a vet and been around the league and has produced. And I know he spoke about he was excited when they decided to go with two pass rushers in the first round.
Yeah, I remember when he was, you know, he had his introductory press conference, and it's just kind of funny. He was actually asked about this exactly, about, you know, what would you think about the team, you know, adding more players in your position. And he was not only just receptive to it, but he was like all for it. He was like, oh yeah, well, I expect them to do that. And that's exactly what we need if we want to get home, if we want to be productive. And I think that we is the important part. You know, he talks about it, and Raheem Morris talks about it being like a basketball team. They want to just like rotate guys in and out, keep bodies fresh, and just keep attacking. And that's something that the new defensive line coach Nate Ollie has talked about as well. The style of this defensive line is called attack style, which is, you know, you are basically going for it. You are trying to penetrate. You are not kind of, you know, protecting a gap or whatever. You are attacking. And I think that really suits a group of, you know, young, dynamic, athletic defensive linemen, both on the edge and on the interior. And I think that Leonard Floyd, even though he's a little bit older, I think that he still fits that model really nicely for this defense.
It's our man Smoking Joe Patrick, not proprietary to Andy Randy. We'll use it too here on Dukes and Bell.
Of course.
Our man at minicamp with the Falcons. We were wondering what they were going to do at center, and they finally do give Ryan Neusel the contract, and it's a nice size, but still relatively inexpensive by NFL contracts.
It's an interesting deal because, you know, Ryan Neusel, first of all, he didn't have really any leverage in this situation with the fact that he was in UDFA and he's got this restricted tag on him. You know, the Falcons can place him under tender, you know, not unlike like baseball teams who have team control over guys. And basically, you know, he was either going to have to not play football or play under a certain amount. And I think that allowed there to be a solution where the Falcons can kind of extend this gambit, this bet that they're making on Neusel being the center, being a serviceable center for them. You know, they're extending that out where they now basically get 2 years, and if he's good this year, you know, they can just let that thing ride. And if he's not, then, you know, they'll go back to the drawing board, I'm sure, whether it's a draft pick or a signing or whatever. And it's ultimately not a huge cost for them. And at the same time, while the Falcons get that benefit, Ryan Neusel also gets a little bit of a bump, some more guaranteed money, a couple more million dollars. So I think it's a relatively win-win for both sides, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why this has never really been a contentious thing. It's been a curious thing because he hasn't been on the roster, but he's always been participating with this team. He signed the medical waivers to be able to practice with them despite not having the contract. So it's nice to have this finally all settled.
What about some of the guys that we have been talking about but, you know, maybe didn't see enough of last year, like the Rooks, right, who was playing well and then got hurt? Tell me what you've seen from maybe last year's draft class of these guys being on the field. And again, I mean, it is OTAs, but who was out there, and was there a surprise that you felt like, okay, because I think Coach talked about Braylon Trice, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's not back yet, but you know, he'll be back because he's still like not even a year out, obviously, from when he suffered that injury. So he is working out. I mean, he's on the grass and stuff, but they're holding him out. It sounds like they're hoping that he'll be back in training camp. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see the guys out there. I you know, been noticing the exit velocity coming off of Michael Penix's his arm. I'm trying to get Mike's goat there. But the young guys have been great. You know, I think that they feel like they have a lot to prove too. You know, like they almost feel, I'm sure some of them kind of feel like rookies, especially a guy like Brandon Dorlos, who like didn't really play last year for this team. And it's been exciting to hear, you know, the defensive line coach again, Nate Olley, really talking about him and the hopes that he has for him to really be a tight end destroyer. That's kind of the way that they envision him as being one of the big edges. They're going to bump Zach Harrison back out to edge as well to be that kind of type of guy. So I think that it'll be kind of Brandon Dorlos will be the understudy to Zach Harrison. And then I think, you know, you got JD Bertrand who can make an impact on defense potentially, especially with the injuries that they've had there. I think a lot of these guys feel like they have things to prove. And in general, it's just a young team. You know, they've got these young, exciting UDFAs coming in as well. And so I think it's going to be, while there aren't a lot of starting jobs up for grabs, although there are a couple, I think it's going to be a really, you know, competitive camp for what is overall a pretty youthful roster at this point.
Hey, man, I know you talked about it, and we got the intel from you on it as Joe Patrick joins us. Why Kyle Pitts was not seen initially. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury, or he's banged up? What's going on?
Well, it sounds like, according to James Palmer, he was inside the building and was dealing with a foot injury. I did not hear that from when I was out there, but I think it makes sense based on what we heard afterwards. I would say, first of all, like the team – they're not basically allowed to talk to Kyle Pitts, or they're not allowed to like ask them why they wouldn't be there. Although apparently he was there. I'm still kind of confused why, I guess I didn't know that. None of the media seemed to know that. But anyway, Michael Penix, we did talk to him afterwards and he said he'd been throwing with him and he looks good and everything. So that's great. You know, and I think it's just it's a relief, I think, for a lot of people that may have been, under misperceptions about the whole situation. It would have made sense because he does have, you know, going into the last year of his contract and everything. But hopefully there's nothing much to that.
Here's the thing about, every time we get into it, it just gets people fired up. The text line lights up. People call up about
Pitts.
He's basically playing for a contract, whether it's here or somewhere else. Best case, worst case, we franchise tag him if he balls out. Do you ever think he's going to be just the big part of a Zach Robinson offense? Like what we saw, you know, in Tampa, but then it just didn't kind of happen more.
Yeah. You know, I honestly wish I could say I do, but I here's the thing about Pitts, and, you know, he could prove me wrong, absolutely, but I would say just in my observations from him, he doesn't cut and run away from defenders like you would think he would be able to because he is so athletic, but his athleticism really shows the most down the field, the straight line speed and getting some of those mismatches and then being able to obviously with his frame to go up and get the ball. Even though he's not great at the catch point, he does still have he can make the circus catch. You know, he's got hand-eye coordination. He's just not consistent sometimes at the catch point. But he had big plays for this offense, but it was, you know, sporadic because they were just these big shots downfield. And so I think that part of the reason why that is because he's just not able to run away from people. He doesn't really drop his hips at the top of hard cuts. That's why, you know, I think there was a couple years ago, people suspected that he was still a little bit injured because he was rounding off all these routes. But I think that that's just the best way that he feels like he can get away from guys. And so ultimately, until he can change that, I don't really see him being one of these high volume tight ends that catches 100 balls like a Travis Kelce.
It's going to be interesting. Next week, what's the availability, Joe?
Yeah, we'll be up there again early next week. That'll be the last OTA session, I believe, before we get into mini camp. So things are ramping up here. It should be exciting.
All right, Joe Patrick, follow him, and he's got your latest coverage when it comes to our Falcons. Thanks again, Joe. Have a great day, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Braves lose 5-4, but that's not all they lose today as they get ready for a night contest. Acuña didn't start, but then contributed. Money Harris got a big hit. We got another home run. But it wasn't enough. We'll talk to Grant McCauley next. It is
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tukes and Bell, let's go around the yard with Grant McCauley. Tough day at the ballpark, should I say, up there in Philadelphia. Lots to get to here, Grant. Let's start first with the A.J. Smith-Shawver injury. Because he was pitching well, and then all of a sudden that happens. I think it changes the trajectory of this game because you pull him, and then some other things happen with injuries where Ronald Acuna enters the game. Let's start with Smith-Shawver and this. What's it mean for our pitching staff?
Yeah, well, clearly that is one of the things that can change your pitching staff very quickly when you have somebody leave early with an elbow issue, and he's already been placed on the injured list, and I'm sure Bryce Elder will be rejoining the club to take that spot in rotation. And this is why we always talk about the depth that you need and the quality of the depth to get through the long season. But it does not sound good. Brian Snitker's post-game comments confirming it didn't sound good, that A.J. Smith-Shawver did in fact tell him that he felt something pop in the elbow, and he is going to be, if he's not already, on the way back to Atlanta to get the imaging done. And I would assume that this will be a season-ending issue, but we will find out what they see once they get all that done.
Yeah, it rains, but it pours, man, with his team.
Yeah,
and again, I just, you know, and this adds certainly, you know, to the question of, you know, where can you find more quality? Heaven forbid, you know, we don't know yet. We've got to wait for it. But more quality pitching when everyone else is going to be looking for that at the trade deadline. Grant, we were kind of confused by the lineup. I understand it's a double dip today, not a traditional doubleheader. But you didn't play yesterday. To have Fairchild out there, and then eventually he gets hurt too, and then Acuna comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like this was one of those doubleheader. One of these games we're going to try to, and clearly Ronald wasn't, I don't think, planning to play both ends of the doubleheader. Now he's basically going to play one and a half games, if that's the math here. But that was just one of the little things they were trying to do there. And you do want to get guys at bats at different times. But none of that sounds good when you're not playing well, you're not scoring, and you'd like to see the best possible lineup out there to get this thing done. Now, the Braves had some chances again today. They had some costly mistakes on the base paths. They had what I would say, just in kind of unpacking what went on in the ninth inning, a very curious pinch running of Drake Baldwin for Marcell Ozuna. That's a bullet that I would have had in the back of my mind to utilize if the game came down to, I don't know, Eli White with the tying and go-ahead runs on base. That's just one of those, you know, hindsight things, certainly, but I think in foresight, it seems like there's a different way to have deployed some of the assets that you had today. That may be the nice way of putting it. It may not sound like the Braves right now deserve to have it put the nice way because it's been pretty frustrating to watch. But yeah, it's just all part of the frustration for this team because it seems like, to your point, when it rains, it pours, and no matter what you do, you can't get out of your own way.
Grant McCauley joining us, guys. Braves getting ready for the night contest in this split day-night doubleheader. Today, Money Harris, you know, he got an RBI, but the catch in center field, and look, I've said this, yep. Grant, I'm curious to know what you think about this. He has not been hitting the way we expected, but his defense, in my opinion, not that I don't want him to hit or that he shouldn't, has made up for that. How many times has he saved runs for this team or made an incredible defensive play that is making the highlight packages because he has saved either a run or, in many cases, the game? Today was one of those moments.
No, he definitely has, but it's hard to say with a premier player in a premier position that the defense will completely be able to make up for it. And really on a team, you can only, I think, afford to say that about one spot. And right now it's Nick Allen at shortstop that can be the glove first, bat second player. And we also know the profile that Michael Harris II has yep. as a hitter, as a guy who can impact the game. It's just he has these slow starts, and there are some valleys before he seems to be able to get to the peaks. And if he could just, you know, get this thing over 162 ironed out, I think you could see one of the great young players in the game. But it just has not materialized in that way yet. Not to say that he can't turn the corner, figure this thing around. I don't think he's going to finish the season with a sub-600 OPS, but that's where he is right now. So these plays are great. He's doing what he can right now in terms of adding the value with catches like that, but you've got to get more from him at the plate. I can't really look at it and say that the defense can completely make up, even on days where he makes an outstanding play, that it can completely make up for the lack of consistent production, and that's really been the problem. But a big hit today, and maybe those are the kind of things that will help get him jump-started, because goodness knows, something should, and something needs to.
Best baseball man in town, our man Grant McCauley, guys, after the Braves lose part one of a double dip up in Philly today. The other thing was, and we were, you know, getting this whole analytics argument with people over what Matt Olson is doing. And I don't know if he's not shortening his swing, but he found some holes, and Matt Olson went 2-for-5 today. And we also saw Murph go yard.
He did. And look, I think Matt Olson has been swinging the bat on the whole better. And, you know, I saw, and I understand everybody views the game through different lenses at different times. I think that the game has evolved to the point where pitchers are throwing harder than ever. Batters have to make their own, I think, claim to being able to hit the ball hard. Being able to hit the ball hard is a skill, and it's something that these guys obviously work very hard for. It's not easy to make that adjustment against a guy who comes in throwing 97, and the next guy comes in throwing 98 with a wipeout slider, and so on and so forth down the list. But I think the biggest thing that you look at when you kind of unpack analytics and exit velocities and clutch is the strikeouts. I think the strikeouts are the most infuriating thing, and that was just part of Matt Olson's game, you know, in game one. But overall, I think he's been swinging the bat better. I think he has had some bad luck this year. I do think it'll normalize, and I do think that he's a guy that they're counting on to come up with some big hits and big spots. They definitely need it, and the sooner the better. So it's not happening, so It's fair game to discuss and to unpack it as much as we want to, but ultimately the results have got to be there. And it's not just Matt Olson. It's Austin Riley. It's Michael Harris. It's been Ozzie Albies, so he has swung the bat better lately. Sean Murphy had a big home run today and knocked in another run earlier in that one. That was good to see. He needed to get back to it. There's several guys on this team that you can point to and say you've just got to get more, you've got to get better, no matter how hard they're hitting the ball or who they're hitting it at.
Fairchild, was that a dislocated finger?
That's what I heard. So he is still available in this second game to pinch run or do things that they may need him to do that don't involve obviously starting the game. But they're going to have to reassess that over the next, 24 hours.
All right, G-Money, try to battle back here in game two. I know that we talked about this. This was the scary side to this thing. I mean, for fans who are saying, hey, it's early. Well, it's never too early or too late to get – I mean, it can't be too late to get down 11 games in the division. So, I mean, do you feel there's a sense of urgency, or is that miscommunicated by that crazy lineup the Snickers threw out there in game one?
Yeah, I don't know if the lineup necessarily does you any favors in terms of trying to find urgency, but it is a long season. It is a year in which, you know, I guess the phrase is it can get late early, and that's what it feels like when you fall down by that many games. Now, I will say this, and maybe this is just the guy who's watched too much baseball, the guy that's watched this team a lot, and maybe whatever eternal optimist exists in that space, we've seen this club battle through more difficult things than they are dealing with this year. They had to do some of it last year. They did it in 22. They did it after a slow start in 23. We obviously know what they did in 21, though some people are sick of talking about that, which is a really weird thing to be sick of. I'm just saying there's still possibility out there with 100-plus games to go. We haven't seen the best of this club. I'm just hoping it shows up sooner than later when they won't have control of their quote-unquote destiny when you're in even an expanded playoff field and too many teams to climb over in order to get one of those spots.
What kind of pressure do you feel is on Chris Sale? Now, he is the reigning Cy Young Award winner. He's a vet. But where we've been and knowing how big this series is and now we've lost the first two, he can't come out pressing tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's the stopper, and I think that Chris Sale, as much as anybody that I've ever met, does a great job of putting all that stuff to the side. I mean, you can call him the reigning Cy Young Award winner. He'll never refer to himself that way. He doesn't think of himself that way. He is probably the most accountable teammate that I've seen in terms of deflecting when he plays well and pitches well and taking 100% of the blame, even if the club were to lose a 2-1 ball game. It would be the pitch, the mistake, the whatever that might have been on his ledger. It's incredible to see, and that level of accountability I think is important. It's what makes him one of the leaders and the fiercest competitors on this club, and that's what makes him exactly who you want on the hill while you try to sort things out against one of the toughest pitchers in the National League against Zach Wheeler. So it ain't getting any easier, but at least you have the guy on the mound that you'd really want to have in this scenario.
What is it now, 13-game hit streak for Ozzie?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see, right? Some consistency there, and he certainly needed it. And some other guys hopefully can catch similar fire. Maybe they can all start one big bonfire and get this whole thing warmed up and get it going. Maybe they need to burn the bats and move on. I'm not sure, but they got to figure something out.
All right, we'll see what happens tonight. Grant, we'll talk about it tomorrow as hopefully the Braves can salvage one here tonight after losing today 5-4 to the Phillies in the early contest. Grant McCauley, thanks again, brother.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
All right, man. Tough day, just from the standpoint. Look, you lose the game, but the Smith-Shawver injury, okay, we've been talking about pitchers we trust. You know, all right, he was one of them. Strider's not back. I said it.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Sale is making his way back to looking like Chris Sale. So, you know, this is the stuff that changes the complexity of your pitching staff and certainly your starting rotation.
Right.
But the main thing is, and look, Grant's right, we just haven't hit.
No, I mean, we can debate the bullpen, and the bullpen, as we said, Daniel Hernandez let you down, as you mentioned. But it just every night, there, every day, there seems to be some aspect of it that just doesn't work. In this case, though, the bats, some signs of life. That's why we said at the end there, I know you mentioned it, Albie's, something to hang your hat on moving forward.
All right, man, coming up, we got a lot more to get to. One team has punched their ticket. Tonight, another team could. We'll talk about it. It's Dukes and Bell.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Go hit the rewind button and go listen to the interview with Sam Mitchell talking about SGA and how good of a player he is. He joined us earlier in the show. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He takes home the Western Conference MVP of the Finals MVP, Western Conference, that is, and they advance to the NBA Finals. But part of this storyline is, Mike, we've been spending a lot of time, and I think a lot of people have, talking about Anthony Edwards. Right. He's Atlanta's own, guys. He's one of the best players in the league, but he didn't play like it. And the crazy thing is, last night in a elimination game, I just expected more. Like, you go out right fighting. You go out
right
swinging. And it was almost like they just conceded. All right, you know what? They're going to win the game. I'm not going to finish the way maybe I should. He took 18 shots, which is more than what he took in the two previous games, Mike. But bottom line is, Ant-Man didn't live up to this.
Well, you know, what did Muhammad Ali always talk about? You know, never ever show any chinks in the armor. Just always project, you know, that you're a badass. Kobe kind of lived that vibe. Larry Bird lived that vibe. There's a million guys we could talk about, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. And I just liked his swagger. I mean, when he's beating up on, 75-year-old LeBron and company, it's like, hey, man, you're telling the fans, how about these nuts? And I'm paraphrasing what he said at Staples Center. But, I mean, this is a guy that, I think you lose a little bit of your juice if you start to, like, kind of shrink a little bit from the moment. And I just thought, he goes in talking all this ish, and then it's like, oh, wow. It's kind of like what Sam was saying earlier about, these guys are really, really good. Oklahoma City shut this down. I just don't know what the coach is supposed to do in so much as, okay, he's coming to the basket. They're collapsing on him. Guys are missing open looks. Sometimes he's late to kick it out.
Sure.
And then sometimes, when he got open looks, he just wasn't hitting the three-point shot either.
Yeah, I just feel like, and again, I'm not solely putting this on him, but he is the star and one of the bigger stars of the league. And, the NBA is one of the unique sports where one guy can will you. He literally can carry you. The guy, Steph Curry, carried our men's team to a gold medal. You can have those moments, and when it's an elimination game, you need those kind of performances. It is a growing moment for Ant-Man, and I know many of you are saying, Dukes, man, he's 23 years old. Well, trust me, he told us that last night when he was like, well, I hope to get back here. I'm going to be back many more times. Dominator, let's play this, because Anthony Edwards said that nobody's going to work like he is.
Nobody's going to work harder than me this summer, I tell you that much. So, yeah, I'll try to make it happen again for Mike.
I'll try to make it happen again for Mike. He's talking about Mike Conley, who who may be done. I mean, I don't even know. Mike Conley's been around for a long time. And, you know, he's helped Ant-Man and grow as a player. But, Mike, this idea, like, well, I'm 23. I'll be back. Really?
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, it's funny because I mentioned it, and then Sam Mitchell mentioned it because I mentioned Dan Marino, and then we had Sam on like 20 minutes later. He goes, Dan Marino thought he was going back to the Super Bowl. He was 24 when they lost in 1985 to the 49ers, and he never got back with all that talent and all the amazing players that came to that organization. So, yeah, to sit there and go, we'll be back. Well, you know, that's the thing. Will you be back with the Lakers? Will you be back with the Heat? Because you don't look like you're going to be back with the Timberwolves. Because Julius Randle, I think, gave you everything he could. And then Gobert goes for 2 points the other night, last night.
He's soft. Don't talk about the Frenchman like that.
It's just, as we say in my native country, I surrender. Yeah. But no, it's just, but that's why you feel you're going to get back there. Because I thought Sam Mitchell made a great point. If they augment that with the right free agents, that's a team which is built for the long haul. They play great defense, and they've got unbelievable skilled guys who can do it inside and outside.
So they're in. We're talking about SGA and obviously, you know, the Thunder. Who are they playing is the question, right? Because that could be determined tonight. Pacers are up 3-1. Knicks back home, Mike. They're trying to make and extend this series. Look, they could. There's no reason why the Knicks couldn't. I just don't think you're going to beat Indiana three times with the way we've seen how Indiana matches up with these guys. So it's going to be interesting tonight. I am leaning Knicks just because of the energy. Mike, this is what happened with the T-Wolves. Remember they went back home and they had that big emotional game and it was like, oh, we're back. That's not who they are. And we saw that. That's not – they weren't going to play that kind of defense for the remainder of the season or the series, and they certainly weren't going to be that offensively, you know, that good offensively through the rest of the series either. So you get one of those games. Maybe the Knicks get one of those games tonight, but then they go back to Indiana.
Well, that's just it. You know, look, if in the half court, if you go strictly in the half court, you and I were talking about this after game three. They really can't match up against the Knicks in the half court if Cat is continuing to do his thing. You saw it in the other night, two nights back, where Indiana starts running. Then they're just kicking it around. Everyone gets those open looks. The bench is – that's the thing. They got, you know, seven guys, you know, in addition to the five starters technically who can come off and score for you. But at Carlisle, I mean, Thibodeau's been a masterful effort, taking him farther, I think, most Knicks fans ever thought. But Carlisle's doing some genius juice of his own, isn't he?
Yeah, he's terrific. And speaking of Sam Mitchell, we mentioned, go check out the interview. Great stories. But he's right. We don't give Carlisle – he's a championship coach. We don't give him the credit. And I just feel like – he has not only out-coached him in this series in Tom Thibodeau, but also his personnel, man. He's just got more guys to go to, right, and they are more versatile. Mike, let's talk about the Hawks before we get out of here because this is interesting. Neither one of these teams, if this ends up being the NBA Finals, are in the luxury tax, okay? And what that means is we've heard our Hawks organization talk about, all right, we're willing to get into the luxury tax, which is basically, guys, you're paying tax on the dollars over the cap for X amount of players, how much ever you are over. And it can add up quickly. It can be a lot of money. But if your team is championship caliber, we don't care. These owners don't care. Golden State's right. been in a luxury tax for like the last 5 years. They don't care. Now, they changed the system a little bit, and they have these aprons, and they're different tiers. But the bottom line, is to make it a simple conversation, is if it's Pacers and OKC, neither one of these teams are facing that, which tells us, Hawks fans, that if you do it right, you can build a championship caliber team and you don't have to deal with that element of, hey, the only way we're going to get a winner, because it used to be this in the NBA, Mike, is we got to go outspend everybody.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't spend, but you spend smartly. And I think when we look at what the potential of this could be, think about how OKC, they traded for SGA. They drafted Chet Holmgren, guys. They drafted Jalen Williams, who's one of the best NBA defensive players. He's all second team, you know, defense. Mike, they added Alex Caruso in the offseason and Hartenstein. Do it the right way.
Well, that's just it. I just hope, God, fingers crossed, that Tony Ressler and his cabal don't look at this and go, yeah, you see, that's why we're just not ready to get into that.
Think he uses the opposite
way? I don't know.
Way?
I don't know. Does he look at it and say, well, I really general manager / team president be named? Anse Sala is going to be the guy, I guess, right? Unless they're going to raid somebody from Oklahoma City. I mean, the only we're getting not only four teams left you can talk. Well, three teams left you can talk to.
Yeah,
because Minnesota, you won't see them no more. So, getting back to the initial point, yeah, you got to draft right. You know, and you also have to have your draft picks to use. You don't give them all away for an ill-advised trade to bring DeJounte Murray in here. But getting back to can you turn it around? $40 million and change. Can you go get a true all-star opposite, you know, Trae Young? Because I don't think Hawks fans will accept, well, we have to completely remain out of any of these aprons. You may have to be a couple million dollars in to the luxury tax. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in this stupid play-in rut. And as you always and I bring up, if you don't improve this team and Trae finds himself in the play-in game for the fifth season in a row, he can opt out. And then you get zip and goodbye. So, and that's why I'm wondering in these interviews, and we're not privy to them, what do these potential general manager team president candidates say? Oh, no, Trae can't win for you. Or yes, got to find some pieces. Or you say, Tyrese Halliburton is taller than Trae. Trae can't do the things Tyrese Halliburton can do. You accept that?
I accept that Tyrese Halliburton has a more complete team around him.
Right.
More versatile guys.
But you always say size matters.
It does. And we do not have a Pascal Siakam. But if you're telling me at what, 6'7", whatever he is, 6'8", I don't even know. I think he's 6'7". Yeah, Mike, there are things at his height that he's able to do and execute that, especially at the basket, that Trae's unable to do. So, you know, they're both unique scorers. But at the end of the day, yeah, I do believe that does matter. It's going to be interesting to see how the Pacers handle this if they get into the finals. But I don't know if it's best for the NBA. Mike and I have said this, but we'll see. Tonight, if they beat the Knicks, the NBA can't say anything about it. My thing with the Knicks was, if it was questionable calls and these were close games, right, that the officials might play a role. Mike, the Pacers are beating these guys. It's not even a question.
But I mean, I think some folks will say, well, the Knicks, well, they, look, at the end of the day, the Knicks blew it, and you saw Tyrese Halliburton basically do Reggie Miller, you know, 30 years to the day, well, a couple weeks back, but you get the idea. And the Knicks just choked on that one. If they lose this playoff, and they're probably gonna, they'll look back at game one and they'll be killing themselves on that one.
They will be.
Because I can give a talented team like the Pacers a split at the Garden, but to do it that way, they lose the first two.
That was brutal.
I don't know. I mean, you really need, first off, you're going to have both your stars. You know, Brunson's got to go off. Cat's got to go for more than 30. Good luck with that.
It's gonna be fun tonight. All right, we'll see what happens in that. If you're just joining us, Braves lose today. The big news, Mike, A.J. Smith-Shawver, on his way back to the ATL, guys, he got injured early in this game earlier this afternoon. And as the Braves say, they've placed him on the 15-day IL.
And now, as you know, the word Snicker did talk with the media about the arm. So it was not the calf, it was the arm. And, you know, every time you hear somebody talk about his arm going pop. I mean, who doesn't freak out over that?
No, that's certainly not good. All right, man, tomorrow, I want to remind you guys, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come through. We're going to be out there. It's been a minute. We'll have a lot of fun, 2 to 6, and hanging out with us. If you get a chance to stop in, Mike always talks about the beer ice cold, and it is.
Yes.
28 degrees, right? 28 degrees?
It could be 27 degrees when we get out there. Yeah. So come on and join the party, pal, as we'll be there from 2 to 6.
All right, man. We got to get out of the way. Turtle has the night show tonight, by the way. He'll take you over at 6 o'clock here. And tomorrow, by the way, we will talk to our man B-Mac about all these things that are going on around the NFL, including the latest with OTAs. There are some deals being done, and we need to mention, too, Mike, the Falcons did make it official today with their center.
Yeah, man, Ryan Neuzel gets a 2-year deal, about $9.5 million, a couple that's guaranteed, but pretty much pennies on the dollar. We didn't really complain about him. I know we lost Dahlman. Dahlman, you know, was one of the higher-paid guys. There was not a big market for centers, so there's really nowhere to go with free agency, and I guess they didn't feel comfortable going and drafting somebody, you know, because they were dedicated to defense in those first couple rounds. So Neuzel was a guy, again, if we're not complaining about him on the radio, I guess he's okay. So the offensive line is set. We're moving forward.
Remember, he played, I want to say, 6 or 7 games last year.
I'm going to say more than that. Yeah, I think it was 7 or 8. Right.
Because of the injury. So, yeah, they got a good sample size out of him. All right, Dom, great job, Dominator. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, I want to thank Grant McCauley for coming on. Also, Steve Weish, NFL Network. He is the senior national reporter. He was talking about Aaron Rodgers. He has no new news, but he says it's kind of implied. How long does this go? I said training camp. If you're Rodgers, think about how Aaron Rodgers operates. You guys think he's going to come in early?
Well, that's just it. I mean, there's nuances to Arthur Smith. Believe me, Falcon fans know there are nuances to Arthur Smith's offense. And it was funny. Somebody on ESPN was going bananas. I can't believe Aaron Rodgers is at the OTAs. He hasn't signed a contract yet.
Hey, thanks to Joe Patrick talking Falcons with us. Also, Mike Conte stopped in. Yeah. Atlanta United made it 2 in a row last night, guys. They play again on Saturday against New York Red Bulls. Can they make it 3 in a row? Maybe this will start a run. But they've got their next 6 matches on the road. And thanks to you for being here. All right, man. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, you just mentioned it. I hope it's the shape of things to come, a start that gets things rolling. Problem is, you got six games on the road, and we've not been really good on the road. Ronnie Dyla, there's a good video Atlanta United put up on their Twitter page where he's talking to the troops, and everybody was fired up after the big win. Most entertaining match since the start of the season when they beat Montreal. Two games, and this one was a come from behind. Being at United, Carl, they did something stupid to turn over the ball and give up a goal, and they rallied and came back. So, look, we can hope, but even Mike Conte said they've dug themselves such a hole, it's going to take an extra human effort to make the playoffs.
No doubt about it. This doesn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you. The Dolphins are in conversations with the Steelers about their lone Pro Bowl selection last season.
Mm.
His name is Jonnu Smith. Do you guys remember Jonnu Smith?
Best tight end I've seen here in a while. I mean, sorry. No,
you're right. Hey, the talks come after apparently he is interested in reworking his deal. They're scheduled to pay him about $4.8 million this season. He's seeking a new contract. Why shouldn't this be a surprise? Because Arthur Smith's the OC with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he knows Jonnu Smith. Had him in Tennessee, brought him here, and I think he'll end up in Pittsburgh. Hey. You love the show?
You tell your friends.
If you don't,
you love Exit Velocity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.